Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the Happiness Habits Transformation Podcast, the place to discover the happiness habits that inspiring women have used to transform their daily routines, bringing them clarity, peace, and joy. I'm your host, Michelle Reeves, former life coach and author of The Happiness Habits Transformation. My guest on today's episode is Marjorie Nass, who for two decades has helped thousands of women successfully navigate perimenopause and menopause and to feel healthy, vibrant, and energized. In our conversation today, you'll discover how Marjorie's own physical and mental health issues in her mid to late 30s as a feverishly busy corporate executive led her to discover the power that yoga and breathwork could have in healing her body and mind. The different branches of yoga that are often overlooked by Western practitioners, but that can have a profound impact on our health and well-being, particularly perimenopause symptoms. Why perimenopause is a stage rather than an age, and why listening to our bodies is so important before we start to make changes. A breath and body scan practice that you can do right along with us during the episode. Why a lack of sleep causes a ripple effect that can impact all of our lives. And how and why we need to be kinder to ourselves as we age and our body transitions into a new stage. And the habits and non-negotiables that Marjorie herself has adopted in her routine to manage her own wellness. And not just what she does, but how and when she does them, which is really interesting. Now, while you're listening today, think about how you can take what you learn and put it into practice. Take action in any way that's meaningful for you. And as always, you'll find the links and details of today's show and all the other shows in this series at my website, michellereeveswrites.com/podcast. But before we get to today's interview, in this week's personal update, I'm excited to say that I finally finished recording the audiobook version of the Happiness Habits Transformation 2nd edition with my AI narrator, Madison. It's taken a hot minute longer than I thought it would because I've had to rewrite some parts of the book to take account of how people listen rather than read, which has been really interesting. I've also added in two other narrators for the case studies and quotes in each chapter, and I think that variation of voice makes it easier to separate out those sections when you're listening. So as I record this on the 19th of May 2023, I'm creating the audiobook bonus page where listeners can download resources to help them implement what they're learning in the book. And then it will be available hopefully by the end of the month, so by the end of May, on Google Play Books. And I'm also working on a promotional offer for the launch, which will be very special. So do keep an eye on my Instagram page at instagram.com/MichelleReevesWrites, where I'll be announcing that first. Do you listen to audiobooks? How do you feel about AI narrators? Leave me a comment wherever you're listening to this episode. I'd love to hear from you. In other news, we're planning our holidays for the rest of this year and next year, and it's really exciting to know that we have those trips on the calendar. Something to look forward to, especially on rainy days here in the UK. We'll be driving to Spain this autumn, which is something we do most years, but we're also going to be travelling to the US next year, which brings me so much joy because I adore spending time in America. Who knows, perhaps I'll drop a couple of copies of my book in public places and see where they end up. Wouldn't that be fun? Okay, back to today's show. So friends, today I have a really interesting guest who's joining us. Perfect for anyone who might be experiencing some of those perimenopause symptoms that you know I've talked about in Happiness Habits Transformation. We're really, really lucky today to be joined by Marjorie Nass. So thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Marjorie.
It's a pleasure to be here, Michelle. Thank you so much.
It's going to be such a great conversation, I know, but I'd love to get started by just asking you to share a bit about yourself. Not everyone who's listening today is going to have all your background, and it's a really interesting story. So would you share with us a bit about you and the challenges that you've had to overcome?
I'd love to. So I started out as a corporate executive in New York City, and I was running around, running myself ragged, working late, going to appointments, and running to the gym. So going to the gym was something to get out of the way to exercise, because I felt that's what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And after a few years of that, I really found myself in a not a good situation physically. I had digestive issues. I had IBS that were really interfering with my life. I got sick all the time with colds and flus, and my mood was not good. I was anxious. I wasn't sleeping well. I suffered from depression, and I just wasn't in a good place. And so the first time I heard about yoga was from a friend and from a health practitioner. So I decided to try it. And where did I try it? I tried it at my gym. So I was used to, and this is dating me a lot, I was on the Stairmaster. I was reading the newspaper. I was watching TV and listening to my Walkman all at the same time. So clearly my mind was all over the place. So I went to this yoga class in the gym, and the instructor started us out on our back, just focusing on our breathing. And that was such a challenge for me that I ran out of the room after like 5 minutes. And I continued back into my life. I said, this is not for me. I can't do that. So I went back to my runaround life, and nothing really changed. I struggled with the same things and they got worse. So again, by another friend or practitioner, I was suggested to do it again. And this time I went to a class that was actually at that time at a teacher's apartment. There wasn't a yoga studio on every corner at that time in the mid-90s. And I walked out of the class, was really hard. So I thought I was in great shape, you know, weights and cardio. And it was really physically challenging for me. So I struggled through the whole thing, but I left that class feeling differently. I felt a calm, I felt centered, and I could not wait to go back. I was sore. My body had been used in a different way. And I started taking yoga classes. Now I was still in my runaround life, so I only had a chance to do, you know, classes on the, maybe a class or two on the weekend. And my GI issues started to get better, which was totally not what I expected at all. And then things changed in my work. So I was working less and had more time to go to yoga. I found myself at a studio that I loved with teachers that I loved. It was a new community and a connection. And I felt better every day. I felt stronger. I did lose weight. And although that wasn't my intention, I just felt stronger in my body every way. And when one feels stronger, everything is just works more smoothly. When you feel strong, you feel more confident. And I loved yoga so much, and it helped me so much with my mood and how I felt about myself, that I decided to become a yoga teacher. And what I had learned was that breathing affects our stress response so much that that in and of itself can help so many physical and emotional issues and awareness and ailments. And most women don't know that yoga has a complete wellness science. It's a whole branch of yoga. It's thousands of years old, and it's called Ayurveda, which simply means science or knowledge of life. And that is a whole nother piece, which really is a map to live a life, to live a healthy life. And I can't wait to talk about that more and how that affects perimenopause and menopause. In terms of my own journey in perimenopause and menopause, it was, you know, this, the story that I just told you was in my mid to late 30s. So perimenopause was not an issue for me. I noticed my periods change, but I wasn't having any of the experiences of the hot flashes, of the trouble sleeping, of the night sweats that women, and the irritability and the fatigue that other women were experiencing. So as I started working with my clients and incorporating all the lifestyle issues that I was doing, their issues started resolving. They felt better. They lost weight. They slept better. And their lives really transformed. So that became my focus. I couldn't wait to help more women so that this, instead of this being a challenging part of their life, women are suffering. If that's you, please know that there's hope. It doesn't have to be this way. It may be very common, but it is not normal for us to be struggling in the way that we are. So I can't wait to talk more about it, Michelle.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think it's a really
everyone has their own story of how they come to a place of healing, and through that generally then some kind of specialism and some wisdom that they can share. And I love hearing the backstories, because I think that journey then really informs how we go on to work with people and help them in different ways. And you know, your story really parallels mine in so many ways, working in the city, you know, work hard, play hard, and you know, gym just being the thing that you do at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then you're racing into the office and it's one and done, and that, like, what's the next part of my day and what's the next part of my day, and then kind of collapsing at the end of the day and then doing it all over again. and it's not until, as you say, it's not until you stop and breathe that you kind of really tune into everything that's going on in your body and realize, goodness, you know, this is not serving me living life this way, right?
100%. And the live hard and play hard. And I was laughing a little bit because I remember I used to go to the gym at 5 a.m. And I remember once I went, and then I went to the dentist and I was still at my desk at like 8 a.m. And I was like, yes, I still have the whole day. I went to the gym and, you know, even got that. And it's like getting things out of the way. And just going back on that treadmill. And like you said, play hard too. And that, you know, living in New York, there's so many options. You don't want to be at home. You want to be out enjoying all the culture and the restaurants and not listening to myself. And I was always kind of pushing myself to go out as well. And that's another sign of staying busy to be busy and not listening to what's really going on inside. And that's why that first trip to the yoga class was too much for me. I couldn't listen to what was really happening to my body. And one of my pillars, I call them, is listen to the signs your body is sending you. And when there's so much going on, we tend not to listen to those little whispers that are saying, pay attention, something's happening.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, when we come to this time in our lives, you know, whatever kind of isn't really an age, I don't really see it as an age related time as much as a stage. It's not an age, it's a stage, because obviously people go through perimenopause at many different, you know, ages. Some people as young as sort of in their 30s, and some people it might be their sort of mid to late 50s. So it's more of a stage, I think, rather than an age. But when we get to this point in our lives, it's almost like your body gives you a bit of a wake-up call. I think, you know, it's trying to tell us something, and it might have been trying to tell us for a while, but we really kind of have to listen at this point, don't we? Because our hormones changing and so many things are occurring in our mind and body. And I love that pillar of yours at just listening to those sounds. But how can we do that if we're kind of caught up in this cycle of busyness? Maybe we've got kids or older relatives we're looking after. We're, you know, very much a sandwich generation, aren't we? So kind of how do you recommend that we kind of stem that busyness to listen in for those signs?
Thank you. Well, it starts with small changes. I actually never suggest somebody do, well, add an hour of this in your day, or, you know, these big changes, because they simply don't work. It's too much. So what I like to do is kind of stack on little habits, little changes. So there are things that we do, you know, habits are something that we do without thinking about them. They're automatic. You wake up and brush your teeth, you get dressed. So for a start, if I'm suggesting that women take a few moments for themselves, I'm not saying go meditate for a half an hour. It's like, okay, you're in the bathroom. If you have kids, you have, you know, you're in the bathroom. You have to go to the bathroom anyway, right? So taking 60 seconds to breathe before you go in, before you get out, especially, and just being in that moment without getting on to the next thing, or even thinking about all the things you have to do in the day, because in the moment, everything's fine. It's just about what we are anticipating that affects our nervous system, which is going to affect our digestion and our sleep and all those things. So that's one really simple step that we can start with.
Yeah, I love that. Just taking a small moment to stop and breathe. And I was actually speaking to someone who's going to be on a later podcast. I was speaking to
just earlier this last week, actually, and she was talking about box breathing as a way of, I don't know if that's something that you've used, but as a way of kind of regulating our breathing to affect our nervous system and our change, you know, our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. So are there different kinds of breathing?
Well, that's the wonderful thing about yoga. There is a whole limb, we call them the eight limbs of yoga, and a limb of yoga called pranayama, which is all about breathing. So there are different breath practices depending on the state that you're in. So box breathing is fantastic for focusing on your stress response. But I suggest certain breathing techniques for women when they're trying to fall asleep, when they're having a hot flash or a night sweat, or even when they're feeling cold, which for some women, they're going from hot to cold. So that's how powerful the breath can be. And what's great about this is that this is totally free. You don't have to, you know, you can learn them in such a simple way. And once you're really clear about how that's making you feel, it's like, you can't wait to do it. And you might hear me on the recording taking a deep breath because it's come so ingrained in me after 25 years that I just do it automatically.
I love that. Do you think we could, and then this is kind of, I'm just doing this off the top of my head. Do you think we could, you could lead us through a little breathing practice now, one that you particularly like that you think might be useful for people?
I would love to. And I'm going to actually incorporate it with a little body scan, which is another way of being in the moment.
I love that. Okay. Over to you.
Okay. All right. So if you're sitting down, you don't have to be sitting down, but if you're sitting down, the only where you could do this when you're driving, keeping your, it's going to be a little bit different. But for those of you that are sitting down or can sit down, please come to the edge of your seat so that just your sitting bones, your butt is at the edge and your thighs are really off. Please take a moment and just feel your seat connected with the chair and breathe in. And as you breathe out, place your hands at the top of your thighs where they meet your hips. And as you exhale, gently press down. Just watching your breath. If your mind moves away, totally fine. Now feel your feet on the floor and gently press your feet down and feel your legs engage. Feel the miracle of your body, the legs that walk you around, that take you places. And then relax your hands, take another deep breath in and slide your hands to your belly, right below your navel. And as you breathe in, feel your belly move into your hands. And that might be kind of new to you if you're used to breathing up into your chest, but just a breath into your belly calms the nervous system. Breathe in, your belly moves into your hands. Breathe out, gently press your belly back towards your navel and exhale the air out of your lungs. Let's do that three more times. And then place your palms together in front of your heart. Place your thumbs, if you know what namaste or prayer position is with your hands, that's what you'll do. And bring your thumbs right up against your breastbone and then gently press your thumbs up, which will help you lengthen your spine. Gently draw your shoulders back. Again, feel your feet against the floor, your seat, your butt up against your seat, against your chair. And this time we're going to inhale again into the belly, but all the way up into the chest and exhale. And as you feel your hands press together, feel the arms and your back, and the amazing hands and arms that held babies if you had them, that can give people hugs. And acknowledging all the amazing things that your body does. And in Ayurveda, science of life, our natural state is one of ease. Anything that's going on the body that's less than that is a sign that things are out of balance. So appreciating all the things that your body can do and respecting the signs that it's giving when it's out of balance. And gently just bow your head to acknowledge yourself, your commitment. Thank you for listening.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Marjorie. Because I kind of threw that out there at you. That wasn't planned, but it was such a beautiful moment. I hope if you were listening that you carried it and did that with us. I was doing it. I feel very relaxed now, which is a beautiful thing. And I just wanted to come back to you on a bit more about this, the kind of tradition of Ayurvedic yoga. Because as you say, we kind of think of yoga as a movement practice, and people may have been to classes and stretching, and we kind of think of being bendy and all those traditional things. Tell us a bit more about this Ayurvedic tradition and what's it rooted in, and what are some of the kind of pillars of it that are so helpful for us at this stage in our lives?
So Ayurveda originated in India, as yoga did. And what's really interesting is that when yoga came to the West, it was really just focused on the physical. And especially when it got really popular in the early 2000s, and it's just grown since then, it's just like another exercise class for most people. The yoga studios that were really focused on the philosophy and the Ayurveda, most of those aren't around anymore. Some of that was the pandemic, and the corporate companies took over the studios, which are now really like exercise studios. But that's not really what the full picture of yoga is. And of course, some teachers are bringing a lot more into that, into their classes, but a lot are not. So people say, I can't do yoga. I hear this all the time. I'm not flexible enough. And yoga is not about flexibility. Yoga is about connecting with yourself and awareness. And if you can breathe, you can do yoga. So what we just did was really a yoga awareness practice. And Ayurveda is a sister science to yoga. Again, it's the science of life. So the pillars of that are really connected with the natural world. And I have to say, Michelle, when I started learning this, it was like everything made sense to me. I was like, I understood my body. I understood my mind more. And so when I say about nature, so there are five elements: earth, water, fire, air, and space that exists in the natural world. And everything that's in the natural world exists in our body because we are part of the natural world. And so when we look at these elements, they are present more or less in different people's bodies. And I like to just give a couple of examples because we actually use language to describe some of these. So for example, somebody who has a lot of earth and water in their body, in their mind, they're more connected with the earth. They're more earthy. You've heard that expression with people. They're an earth mother, they're an earthy person, and they're more grounded and connected. Their body's going to be a little bit different. They're going to be a little denser. This doesn't really have to do with weight. It has to do with their muscle mass and their bones and everything like that. And they're going to be a little bit resistant to change. There's another saying, they're a stick in the mud, right? And somebody who has more fire in their constitution, their fire ignites, fires change, fire transforms. So somebody who has that is very much into change and going. And with the fire in their mind as well, that can also create hot-headedness, or somebody who has a fiery temper. Those are a couple of examples. Now somebody, and their body's going to kind of be in the middle of it, but they might struggle with things like heartburn or inflammation. They tend to get sunburned more easily. Again, all of these references to fire. And then the last two elements are more subtle, air and space. And the difference is that air moves, the wind, and space is vast. So somebody who has more air in their constitution and air and space, they're going to be lighter in their body. They're, if you get someone a hug, and again, it doesn't matter so much about the weight, but they're just lighter. You give somebody a hug, and especially as we get older, there's more air in our body. There's less density. And somebody who has more air in their mind and in their emotions, they're going to be a little more lightheaded. They're going to be a little more airy or spacey. We've all heard that as an expression. There's also going to be more dryness in a person who has more air and space. So all of these affect our experiences in perimenopause and menopause. And it can be a little bit complicated, but it doesn't have to be. It can be really simplified, which I do in my teaching. And then when we look at the nature, how this goes in nature, there are cycles of nature. So when the sun is higher in the sky, there's more fire, and that connects with us. And for example, our digestion is better in the middle of the day when the sun is higher in the sky. And that is also the time at night that we tend to get more night sweats. So when we're aware of all of these things, it helps us understand ourselves. It helps us understand where we are in the day and also in the season. And I'll leave that for now.
Oh my goodness. I could talk to you about this for days. This is just so fascinating. And I'm just listening to all those different elements and think, oh, which one am I? And oh, I can recognize that in some people. I love the examples you gave. And I think people are going to be really interested in maybe finding out a bit more. And we'll talk at the end. Don't worry, guys, there'll be loads of links in the show notes. So you'll be able to connect with Marjorie to find out more about this. But let's just go back to perimenopause for a second. And in terms of kind of symptoms that you know, if people are listening and think, oh, I'm not sure if I'm perimenopausal, you know, what should I be looking for? What kind of symptoms are you seeing in your clients that, you know, you've been able to really help them with, but, you know, at the time before they came to you, they were really struggling?
So one of the first signs, and people are like, oh, I must be in perimenopause. This is an obvious sign, because there are signs that are not obvious. And people say to me, well, this has been going on for a couple of years, but I didn't realize it was perimenopause. So, but first I'll talk about what tends to happen. So some of the first signs are the hot flashes and the night sweats. When we're not sleeping because we're being woken up with night sweats, everything is a ripple effect. We all know what it's like to wake up in the morning feeling tired. Everything's harder. Everything takes longer. Our mood is like a roller coaster. We can be irritable. When we're tired, we're not as present with our loved ones. And if we're working, everything takes longer because our brain is foggy. So those are the kind of symptoms. And with all of us, all of this, there can be weight gain. So I focus a lot on sleep, because sleep is contributing to all of these other symptoms. So that's the thing we first focus on. So for example, I've worked with a woman who had a very stressful job. She was coming home, did not have much energy to do anything on the nights that she wasn't out, would fall asleep on the couch, wake up in the middle of the night, 1, 2, 3 in the morning, drag herself to bed, get up, was already starting the day behind. So she was waking up and already rushing. And then, so she was arriving at work and already being in that stressed state. So this is an example of how sleep can affect everything. And she had gained weight through all of this. So once she started, and she wasn't happy. So when she started working with me, she had more time to set her day up in the morning. She had some time to do these very simple, short practices. And that set her up for a very, very different day. And when she was clearer at work, instead of being irritated all the time and angry, two fiery signs, right? Irritation and anger, things start to make more sense for her. She had been had this passion project for years. And she realized, you know, this corporate situation, this is not really where I want to be. And her husband was location independent. And she was able to get an exit package for herself that she created. And they were able to work on this passion project together. They are. And they also decided to move. They decided to move to an area where they could be outside all year, be active, not have to deal with the winters. And love, love, love working on their passion project and seeing that expand in the world and affect so many people. So what I like to say is that when we are taking care of ourselves and we're taking care of ourselves, not only do we feel better, but our life can transform. Instead of fighting our body and trying to just push through.
Yeah, that whole piece of pushing through is... That so resonates with me because that's exactly where I was when I first started having perimenopause symptoms, which was in the beginning of the pandemic, unfortunately, where we had no access to anything really, did we, for a while. And so I just pushed through. Okay, I'm having these symptoms. I don't really know what's going on. I really don't understand. So I'm just going to push on through. And I love how you talk about how as women we can very easily normalize how we're feeling instead of really investigating it and prioritizing ourselves and going a bit deeper and investigating it. Do you think that's kind of symptomatic of a lot of problems that we have during this time, a lot of women who are struggling with perimenopause symptoms?
Yes. And Michelle, that is one of the words that I use all the time. We've normalized feeling this way. We've normalized feeling tired and kind of cranky. And it's not until it's to such a degree that life has changed so much that women feel like they have to do something. And that's why these simple ways of being present can really help. I also want to address this confusion that women aren't really sure what to do. I think it's gotten a lot better actually in the past couple of years since I've, you know, especially since I've focused on this, but there's still so much misinformation, even from the doctors. People start with their general practitioner now, and they're I have nothing, you know, against doctors, but they're just not trained specifically to deal with this. But a lot of women will take that as the answer. So women who, doctors who say, you just have to deal with this. This is just your age. And I'm not happy that women are being told that by their doctors, obviously, because it's just not true. And this is where I talk about common versus normal. So we've normalized this because it's so common. Everyone we know has hot flashes. Women are complaining to each other and how terrible it is and how bad things are with their husband because their libido has gone down and they don't feel good about themselves in their body. But it is not normal. It is common. And one thing that's really interesting, if I could just add a little fact here. So in other cultures, these symptoms are different. So there are cultures, many Asian cultures, especially in Japan, they don't have hot flashes. They don't have night sweats. So what's become common in our culture isn't in others. I think that one main thing is how we regard aging in Western culture, that it is a time that, you know, our life is over and things are just going to go downhill. I hear from women, they feel like they're 80 when they're 50. And in cultures where aging is revered, elders are respected, it's not as difficult for women to embrace this change in their life. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think this is, as you say, it is starting to change. People who've listened to the show before, you've heard me say this before, but I think the whole common versus normal thing we can have as a parallel with other issues like postnatal depression, for example. So when I had postnatal depression over 13 years ago, it wasn't talked about. You know, we just didn't talk about it. It was common. And it was that whole thing about common versus normal. It's actually quite common for people to have, you know, baby blues, and actually quite a lot of women do have postnatal depression in one form or another. It's a spectrum, it's a scale. But we don't have to accept that and just say that's the way things are. We can get treatment for that. We can move past it. There are solutions now, and it's very much accepted nowadays that, you know, there is a path to follow if you're experiencing those symptoms, and people aren't as embarrassed or afraid to talk about it. But I think, and I hope, we go down that same path with, you know, perimenopause, which is another hormonal, I mean, we are at the mercy of our hormones, aren't we? It's another hormonal issue. The hormones are affecting our body that way. And if we can just see it as a natural and normal part of aging, and you know, yes, there are things we can do that can help support us during that time, but it's not something really to be fearful of.
I love that. And, you know, it's a privilege. There are women who don't get to perimenopause and menopause. Unfortunately, I speak with women who lost their moms at a young age, and they didn't have that example of their mother and how she experienced, or how they could still talk to her about it if she was still alive. So yeah, when we get to this point in our lives, things are going to change. It's just part of being a woman, just like we go through puberty, and this is another change in how our body produces hormones. And I just want to add one thing, which is that when our body is in stress response, that is going to affect our sex hormones, because other hormones are being released. And I had a really interesting conversation with a woman named Rachel Posner, and she specializes in looking at stress response. And we talked about how stress hormones, if stress hormones are being released and present, the sex hormones can't at the same time. So if we're already super, super stressed, the change in our hormones is going to be affected more.
That is really interesting, isn't it? Because I think there's a lot of women I talk to find that they are more anxious, more stressed, with no real reason behind it. You know, the cortisol just is kicking in a lot more readily during this time. So it's quite interesting how those two things, you know, are combining together. I think one of the things that I love about the way that you work is almost giving women a toolbox of solutions, different things they can try, which I really like. And you prioritizing sleep, I think, you know, I really struggled with sleep at the beginning, and I've managed to move through that, and I'm a lot better now. But you're right, it's like when you have a new child, you know, you have a newborn, you know, you don't sleep and you're a walking zombie, and you're not expected necessarily to be able to get on with your life. But we do expect, you know, nothing to change as we move through life. We expect our bodies to perform exactly the same, you know, all the way through our life. And it's just having that understanding and being a bit kinder to ourselves as well, would you say?
Absolutely. We are so judgmental of ourselves, and we say things in our mind or aloud to ourselves that we would never say aloud to somebody else. So there's this constant criticism that's going on in our mind, and without support and without really looking at our mindset and having the support of a group or someone to say, no, you're amazing. The rest of your life can be amazing, rather than feeling like they're shrinking. And I love to say, you know, our bodies can't do the same thing. So look at it from a simple perspective. Your body was able to give birth teens, 20s, 30s, for some women into their 40s. But when we're in our 50s and 60s, we can't give birth anymore. Our body won't support that. So yes, our bodies are changing just in that way. So we can't expect to do the exact same things. And there are athletes that will prove otherwise, but I would say for them, it's kind of a full-time job in order to do that.
Yeah, 100%. Marjorie, I want to just touch on, you talked about habits at the beginning, which is a big passion of mine, as you know. I'd love to hear, you know, what habits you have that you think make you, you know, happier or more successful. Is there sort of any habits you have as part of your daily routine?
Yeah. So again, it starts with sleep, and sleep is a non-negotiable for me. I know that I can't function if I don't get a good night's sleep. And what's really interesting is that, again, with Ayurveda, the timing and sleeping are, it's not just the hours that we sleep, the number of hours, it's when that sleep takes place. And again, this is like deciding to make a change, not just because going to sleep at 10 o'clock or going to sleep, let's just say at 10 o'clock, because you're doing it at 10 o'clock, you're doing it because your whole day, the next day is going to be better. And this is prioritizing your sleep and your life and your family and what you love to do in the world. So I always remind women to have this big why, because it's really easy to say, no, I want to watch this show, I have to finish this up, but it can become a habit that going up to bed is something that you can do at the same time every day. So the consistency of going to sleep at the same time and going to sleep earlier. Now, if you're listening to this and you're going to sleep at midnight, don't try to like take 2 hours off of that. Again, it's going to be like 10 minutes, 15 minutes increments. And often there has to be a reminder, like it's time to get ready to go to bed. So prioritizing sleep is my number one. And getting outside is number one as well in the morning, because our body resets and wakes up when we're outside. And that can be 15 minutes. It doesn't matter if it's raining, there's always going to be better light outside than inside. Even if you have a ton of windows, that fresh air, our body gets accustomed to the light. And that's part of Ayurveda as well. We want to be sleeping when it's dark and awake when it's light.
I love that. And is there anything around food and eating? Are there any habits you have? You know, you talked about, you know, your digestion, yeah, and the exactly. issues out there. Are there any habits around food and eating that help you?
Yeah. Again, we are looking at nature's rhythms. Sun is higher in the sky. Again, it's between about 10 and 2, depending on where you live. And that's when having the biggest meal is critical, because that's when our body has the strongest digestion, when we digest well. And I always say this, like you can have the most perfectly prepared, organic, balanced, like food that you love, but if you're eating it at a time that's not ideal, if you're eating it when you're stressed, you're not going to get the full nourishment. So people say, I'm eating healthy. Well, there's more than about what you eat. So yes, I eat my biggest meal in the middle of the day as lunch. And that's a new thing too, making time for lunch away from your desk. That's what I do.
That's really interesting. And I can understand biologically why that works, but I just wonder whether I would be able to, if I eat a big meal in the middle of the day, it makes me fall asleep.
Well, that's really interesting. And I would say that whatever you're eating is not balanced in a way that's making you sleepy, or you're just finally feeling the fatigue that was actually there already.
Yes. I think you're absolutely right. Because I think that when we have the traditionally in the UK, we tend to have our big meal at that time of day at the weekend. And so I'm thinking that's probably, it's the end of the week. It's the culmination of all the fatigue that you build up during the week, and your body finally hits your body and you have to stop. So another indication, I think, probably from our bodies. If you're listening and that's something you do on a Sunday afternoon, having that post lunchtime nap, that's probably a sign you need to be listening to. That, you know, exactly. Everybody's really tired. So really good tip there from Marjorie. I know that you're very keen on when you take in sort of technology as well. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. So technology is new, right? We've only had these screens, TV screens for 60 or 70 years. computers for 30 years, depending on when you got one. And the smartphones are really only 15 years old. And a lot of people just adopted them in the last 8 or 10 years. So having this light, this electronic light in our face is part of it. But it's also the stimulation that constantly looking at that information is doing to our brain. If you're looking at your phone before you go to bed, it's going to be waking you up. If you wake up with a night sweat and you look at your phone, you're not going to be able to get back to sleep. And again, it's like we're not able to be with ourselves because we're so connected with what's going on around us, especially with the news. If you're watching the news at night, I would argue that 99.99999% of the time, it is something that you could find out 8 hours later in the morning. And it is going to impact your sleep in a very negative way because the news is 99% negative. And that's going to lead to this repercussion throughout the day of being tired and unfocused and not happy. So those little things, again, they're free. You don't have to add anything. It's just about shifting your idea that why you're doing things and how it can just help your whole life be better.
Oh, that's such a great tip. And we've had some really awesome tips. So guys, listening to us and listening to Marjorie today, really take a moment to just think about some of the things that Marjorie's talked about. Think about your sleep patterns. Think about when you're eating. Do you get outside? When are you using technology? You know, when are you making sure that you're not getting that blue light that we know keeps us awake? And how often are you really listening into your body and making use of those breathing techniques? And I would encourage everyone, you know, to rewind and just listen to that great breathing technique that Marjorie gave us. I know I'm going to be listening to that one again because it was really calming. Marjorie, it's been absolutely brilliant chatting with you today. Time is against us, but I know that everyone listening is going to want to be able to connect with you. So where are the best places for people to find you? And what are you excited about at the moment that you're working with your clients on?
Thank you. So the thing I'm most excited about my clients is how rapidly they can get better sleep without the night sweats. That is not something that has to take a long time. So I'm really excited about that because again, my number one thing is sleep. So I'm listening to your body. So being able to get that extra sleep, happier, more excited about the day, not having to drag through the rest of your day. So that's what I'm most excited about right now because I've seen that a lot with my clients recently. And the way that you can contact me if you'd like is the best place is through my website. It's marjorienass.com. And I have a masterclass that has a link there. It's called the 5 Shifts to Thrive Through Perimenopause and Menopause. So I recommend you watch that. You'll learn more about my pillars. And for the women who are listening, if you've gotten this far, I want to invite you to a free breakthrough session. And we'll put the link in the show notes to schedule that. It's a little bit longer. So Michelle will put it in. It's really about how perimenopause and menopause are negatively affecting your life right now and hair and how you do want to feel. And if there's a way that I can help, I'll let you know what that looks like. We'll talk about what exactly that would look like between the two of us. And I also have a Facebook group. It's called Vibrant Through Menopause. So I would love to have you there as well. Just send a request or click on the link. And thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show, Marjorie. I will make sure all those links are in the show notes and we'll get those as always on the website, guys. Marjorie, thanks again. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, Michelle.
Okay, that's it for today's show. And as I mentioned earlier, you'll find all the links for this episode and previous episodes in this series in the show notes at michellereeveswrites.com/podcast. And hey, if you did enjoy this episode, it would mean the world to me if you could take 5 minutes and leave a comment and review where you're listening today. I love to hear from you. It makes this more of a conversation. And due to the way these platforms work, it really does mean that others will more easily find the show. Thanks so much for listening today. I'll see you next time. Bye for now.